Happy Sabbath, everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Are you grateful for another day to be alive? And I am. I am. Every day that I wake up and breathe, I'm thankful for it. A large dog walks into a butcher shop carrying a purse in his mouth, and he puts the purse down and sits in front of the butcher and looks at the case of meats, and the butcher looks at him and says, "What's up, boy?" And the jokingly asks, "Want to buy some meat?" And the dog, woof. So he thought that was interesting. He said, what kind of meat do you want? Do you want chicken? Do you want liver? Do you want steak? Woof. And so, well, do you want a half a pound? Do you want 1 pound? Woof. And so amazingly, the butcher, you know, he wraps up the meat and takes the money out of the dog's purse that the dog had, and the dog leaves, and he decides to follow the dog. This is really interesting to him. So he follows the dog back to this apartment, and the dog goes in toward to the apartment door, and he drops the purse and all that and begins scratching at the door. So this man opens up the door and yells at the dog, starts shouting at him, and the butcher says, "Stop! Stop yelling at the dog. That is the smartest, most intelligent dog I've ever met." And the man says, "Intelligent? This is the third time this week he's forgot his key." Well, that man obviously wasn't thankful. He wasn't thankful for the incredible dog that he had. Contrast that story with, you know, all the homeless people that I've met over the last several years. You know, some of them would be jovial, some of them would be very expecting, some of them not expecting. I mean, just in all kinds of different people that I've met that were homeless that we've helped and assisted. But it's always amazed me when they come back after we've helped them and they leave the homeless shelter, then they come back and they're so thankful, and they've got these testimonies of you know, where they're at, what they're doing, what their work and whatever else they've been up to, but just how thankful they are. It reminds me of this one woman named Amy Dumbreek. We served her at the homeless shelter. She went through our drug addiction recovery program and went through all of that. And she left and got herself an apartment and a job, and then she came back and she volunteered. And as far as I know, she's still volunteering. But truth be told, a lot of the staff, a lot of the volunteers that work at homeless shelters, they've been through that process. They've been through that crisis in their life, and they want to give back because they're so thankful for what they've been given and how it helped them. These folks were grateful and thankful, and it reminds me of Jesus and a bunch of guys with leprosy. Follow me along with Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, starting at verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." That wouldn't be what I would be hoping for. You know, I wouldn't be hoping for Jesus to say, "Go show yourself to the priests." I would be hoping for Jesus to come lay hands on me, anoint me with oil, and pray for me and have the power of God touch me. But no, he says, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." I find this to be just a fascinating story when we're talking about thankfulness and seeing this one man that returned and gave thanks to Jesus and the response of Jesus. We are to be thankful even if it is a difficult circumstance. It's the first thing I just want to draw out of this text. Be thankful even if you are in difficult circumstances. This kind of thankfulness is faith. We read the story too quickly, and I read it very quickly. I think slow it down and picture it with me. See what's going on. We start with 10 men who have the worst disease of the day. Absolutely horrific disease. Physical ramifications that they just are horrendous. The leprosy attacks the body. It leaves sores. Fingers are missing. Toes are missing. Damaged limbs. Damage to the nerves. In many cases, the initial pain isn't the worst part because it goes on to damage the nerves, and suddenly there's no sensation in the nerve endings. They don't feel it. They don't feel it when they lose their fingers, and they don't feel it when they lose an ear. And it's just horrible sensation that happens through this disease of leprosy. The disease can take 30 years to run its course. It can kill them. It takes around that time. Entire limbs fall off during that time. It is a horrible disease. It's impossible to try to fathom what it was like 2,000 years ago during the time of Christ with these men and what they were suffering with. They didn't have the medical treatment that we have today. And it's just a horrific disease, and it's hard to just understand what they were going through. I understand for those that have worked with people with leprosy, one of the worst parts is actually the smell that comes from the decaying of the bodies. The body just begins to decay. Body parts, fingers, toes fall off, and it just begins to just rot, and it's a horrible, horrible smell. I think I gained a new appreciation for how bad this disease must have been in the days of Christ. It wasn't just grotesque damage. It wasn't just horrible to look at. It wasn't just that these guys were crying out loud and hurting my ears. No, it was also the smell of the rotting and just an overwhelming thing. Overwhelming. And yet the emotional pain that the lepers must have experienced was far worse than the physical trauma that they were going through. Because they were removed from their families immediately. Their families couldn't be around them. Nobody wanted this to contract this disease. So they were removed from their families. They were removed from their communities. Even their wives weren't able to take the time to kiss them goodbye. They were just removed from all of that. And watch what an incredible emotional, not just physical experience, but an emotional experience that these lepers during this time went through. So these lepers, they tended to join groups. They roamed around together, begging for food at a distance. They would yell in loud voices, begging for food. They wanted to yell to warn people, but also to beg for help from a distance. What would it have been like to be removed from our families for a lifetime and to be forced to announce daily who you are and what you were suffering from so that people could stay from a distance? What a horrible, horrible experience for them to have gone through. And yet in this account, 10 men encounter Jesus and hear him say the most unusual thing. They cried out, "We want to be well." They cried out, "Have mercy on us." They screamed at Jesus. They cried out, and the teacher responds, "Go show yourself to the priest." Not exactly the thing I would have been expecting the great teacher, the master, the Messiah, to be declaring. Go show yourself to the priest. Not you are healed, not I'm going to lay hands on you, but go show yourself to the priest. They're crying out to Jesus. But you see, the local priest, Jesus being from that culture, the local priest at that time, part of his job, not just leading worship on the Sabbath, not just taking care of the temple duty, whatever his duties were, part of his job was actually being kind of like somewhat of a health official. So when people came to them, the Bible actually has a lot to say about the process of leprosy and if they were to come to him. And it goes into great detail of what he was supposed to do to check them over so that he could declare that they were healed and healthy. There was quite a bit that he had to go through, inspecting their body for the removal of the disease. At this point, if a leper would have been cleansed and he would have been declared them clean, it would have been okay for them to go back to their families. It would have been okay for them to go back to their community because they would have been healed and the priest would have declared that. Now Jesus says to these lepers, he says, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Go show yourselves to the priest. And they look down at their bodies, and nothing has changed at this point. Nothing, their skin is still diseased. Their hands are still mangled. The man looks at his leg, and he's still got that filthy rag around his leg. His leg isn't changed. His toes aren't changed. His ears aren't changed. His body has not changed. Jesus says, go to the priest. Go show yourself to the priest, yet their bodies are just as repulsive as before. In other words, all these men were no better off than when Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priest. They were still sick, and yet they headed off in search of the priest, and on their way, they were healed. On their way, the hand reappeared and began to tingle with life. On their way, their crutch trips over the skin that drops off, showing that they had new skin. On their way, they realized they could hear again through this ear and that the hear was totally restored. On their way, they look at their skin. They realize that their hair has gone from that white color to their natural brown color, how it used to be. On their way, they are totally healed, totally restored. And they you can imagine these guys breaking into just absolute hysteria, excitement, cheers. They were just crazy. This is so awesome that they began to run off, knowing that they were healed, so excited, not believing. This nightmare was finally over. Finally done. We're healed. We're good. We're whole. But in order for the miracle to happen, these men had to start walking in their faith before the circumstances had changed even a bit, even a tiny bit. Nothing had changed, but they had to trust and believe and obey and begin walking off just like Jesus had commanded them to. There's a very important lesson for us here when it comes to when we're thinking about Thanksgiving. And we are thinking about Thanksgiving today. We've got the Harvest of Thanks potluck, and I know Thanksgiving is a couple weeks off, but we are considering being thankful to God and what that means to us. And there's a very important lesson here. You cannot wait till the problems are over before you start walking in your faith. You cannot put conditions on God. You cannot say, Lord, as soon as there's enough money, I'll follow your instructions. You can't pray, Lord, just as soon as this issue is my family is solved, I'll start going to church. You can't put conditions on God. Instead, God places the demand on our faith before anything at all has ever changed. God might say, love me despite your circumstances. Love me despite your disease. God might say, obey me despite the lack of talent or the lack of resources. Follow me despite the depression that you're suffering with. God might say, say no to temptation while it's difficult. Praise me in the darkest of nights. Even in the worst of circumstances, praise me. This is the nature of God. A God who loves us so much, He gives us the opportunity to be thankful for when nothing about your circumstances has changed. He gives you the opportunity to be thankful when nothing about your circumstances gives you the motivation to be thankful. My friends, this is the very definition of faith. This is the very meaning of faith. If you praise God only in the good days and in the best of circumstances, it wouldn't be faith at all. It would be more like a business contract, a business deal. You know, God, you give me what I need, and then in return, I'll pay you with my praises. That's more like a business deal. It's more like giving an exchange of currency. But that's not faith. Faith is saying, God, regardless of what I'm going through, regardless of what I'm dealing with, regardless of what I'm suffering with, regardless of what's happening in my life, regardless of my situation, God, I'm going to thank you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to have a heart of thanksgiving towards you. That's true faith right there. Some of you might be in horrible circumstances right now. Some of you might be facing horrific things. Whatever awaits you this coming week, whatever awaits you today, it's forcing the question, will you be thankful despite your difficult circumstance? If so, you will have experienced faith. I used to watch a lot of Christian TV years ago. I'm not able to anymore, but I used to watch a lot of Trinity Broadcasting Network. I used to watch a lot of that TBN. And I remember seeing the speaker who was on their shows. He was horribly scarred. It was actually hard for me to look at him. And I remember thinking at the time, as I'm watching him on this TBN, I don't remember what the show exactly was, but I remember watching him and thinking, how can he was happy. He was happy regardless of the scarring, regardless of what he looked like. He was happy. He was joyful and he was preaching excitedly on the show, and I'm just thinking, how can he be so joyful? How can he be so full of thanksgiving and praise, even though he obviously suffered such horrible things? I mean, it's even hard to look at him. Well, his name was Dave Rover, and Dave Rover grew up in a loving, committed family here in Texas, actually. And last thing on his mind was going to war. At the height of the Vietnam War, Dave, he didn't want to join the Army and join the infantry, and so he joined the Navy, and he became a gunner in the Navy. 8 months into his tour of duty in Vietnam, he was holding a phosphorus grenade that he meant to throw, and it exploded, and the phosphorus grenade just left him in a horrible condition. He was in the hospital. He was hospitalized for 14 months and underwent numerous surgeries, reconstructive surgeries. And even after all the surgeries, he still was horribly scarred. And yet today, just absolutely a humorous, just full of humor, full of joy, full of just excited when he preaches and talks about Jesus. He's a national, international, respected speaker. Just incredible joy of the Lord, just incredible thanksgiving, regardless of what he went through, regardless of his circumstance. A valuable lesson for us today. The second lesson that I want to draw from this, be thankful in your circumstances. The second I want to draw from this, be thankful in the work of God's goodness. This is thankfulness. This kind of thankfulness is worship. One of the men came back to Jesus and praised God. He was thankful. He was public about it. He was loud. He began to shout, you know, how awesome Jesus was. He began to shout out to him. It says when he came back, he was praising God in a loud voice. He was just incredibly thankful to God, just shouting. Why was he so loud? Well, this guy had been forced to yell for so long. I mean, I'd be excited too if I was healed, and I'd be just really excited. But I also realized in what they were dealing with, they were forced to yell for so long, dealing with this leprosy, yelling at people that they were unclean, yelling at people, begging for food from a distance, just yelling for years, yelling. So he comes to the Lord. Of course, he's just loud. He's not talking a normal voice. But I see deeper than that. I just see the incredible thing that Jesus did in his life. And regardless of all the yelling he had done for years, he was excited about what Jesus did, thankful what Jesus did for him. Here's an amazing application point, something we can immediately draw and put into our life. This week, this month, be sure to acknowledge God for his goodness. Here we see this leper and what they've gone through and what they were suffering with. And Jesus healed them, and he was just so thankful. He returns to Jesus with such an incredible, thankful heart. And we can learn from that. Be thankful for the goodness of God in your life. Be sure to actually be thankful. Be sure to gather, this coming Thanksgiving, be sure to gather everyone up in prayer and give God thanks for what he's done for your family. Give God thanks for what he's done for you. Be loud about it. Be loud about it. Can you miss it? Sure you can. The weeks go by so quickly. The month will blast by before you even know it. And you probably have a lot of chores to do around the home. And not only that, but Thanksgiving, it's a family holiday, and so you're busy. You're either on the road traveling, or you're the one that's hosting the Thanksgiving, and so you are busy with all those preparations, get everything ready for your family, getting your home ready, cooking the food. It's just so busy, so much to do. So it can be busy, 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 busy. It can be so easy to totally to miss it, to forget to be thankful to God. It's possible to get all the way through it, all the way through Thanksgiving, all the way through this month without stopping to actually give thanks to God. Don't do that. Commit to it. Be thankful to God. Actually be thankful to him. The third thing I want to draw out of this passage is to make sure that your thankfulness leads to action. The leper, he wasn't just thankful. He wasn't just praising God and shouting like everybody else probably was, but he actually turned and went back to Jesus. One, healed leper came back. One caught himself in the midst of the celebration and returned to Jesus. One didn't take the time to go to the priest, didn't take the time to go see his family, but returned to Jesus to give him thanks. Jesus asked, where are the other nine? Where are the other nine? Do you realize what this says? Do you realize what Jesus is saying here? Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest. Jesus never commanded any of them to express thanksgiving. He never told any of them to return and be thankful to him. You know, but yet Jesus expected it anyways. He says, where are the other nine? God expects thankfulness from us. He's not telling us, you know, when he does things in our life, he's not saying, now go be thankful to me. No, but he wants our thankfulness. Where are the other nine? What kind of action is Jesus looking for from you and from me? Has God been, by his Holy Spirit, been urging you towards some kind of action this season? And if he's not, you know, I would encourage you, pray about it. Is there anything God is putting on your heart to do this season? Had the Lord been tugging at you for some kind of step of faith, maybe something with your friends, maybe something with your family, maybe even a stranger in need of help this Thanksgiving? What is God putting on your heart? Is there something God is putting there that you're feeling compelled to do? And my best advice as we consider Thanksgiving, as we consider this giving thanks to God, it's not just lip service. The leper went back to him. He didn't just yell from a distance, thank you, Jesus! He went back to him. He actually did something. And my best advice to you when we are trying to put this into practice in our lives, trying to be thankful people, is what can we actually do? What is God putting on our hearts to do? Maybe do for someone else. What is something God may be pressing you in your spirit to do? My best advice, you know, to what Jesus is looking for from 2,000 years ago is to take this kind of step of action and to help someone else or to bless someone. Otherwise, Thanksgiving meal becomes no more than filling our bellies with food. You know, and I tell you what, and I stuff myself on Thanksgiving, but I tell you what, the next day I eat pretty good. For all that stuff in my belly on Thanksgiving, I still eat pretty good the very next day. The food just gets digested. It goes away. Shouldn't our spirit of thankfulness last longer than just one meal? Shouldn't we put our faith into action? Shouldn't we obey God's Spirit? Shouldn't we thank Him for all that He's doing in our lives? And then when He leads us to help someone, shouldn't we be so thankful that we want to respond and help someone else? Shouldn't that be our heart? Not just lip service of thanksgiving, but be willing to actually put into action. Say, you know, God, you've done so much for me. What is it I can do for someone else? A heart of thanksgiving. The fourth thing I want to show you from this passage, and I'm just amazed by what Jesus says here to this man. The fourth thing I want to show you from this passage is a lifestyle of thankfulness is a lifestyle of wellness. Looking at the scripture again, walk through me with this. We're going to look at three different words that are all trying to say the same thing to this used to be leper. The first one, looking at verse 15. At verse 15, it says, when one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back. So let's stop right there. That word healed is a pure medical word, meaning to repair. It's like a broken bone. It's this idea of mending. It's the guy was all patched up. So when he was healed, I'll look at it again here. When he saw that he was healed, came back. So there's that idea of the word healed. Then look at verse 17. He says, Jesus asked, we're not all 10 cleansed. Where are the other nine? That's actually a different word. It's a medical word in part, but it means to remove the purity. So it's kind of this idea, like if you were to hook up a heart cath and the angioplasty might remove the blockage in the artery and the blood could be flow and be cleansed and they can be healed from that. It's this idea of being cleansed and to see that Jesus poured out his power in a sort of sense. Naturally, the Jewish connotation of this word is important too. To be cleansed was exactly what the priest was looking for and would declare. It carries some religious overtones too. And the third word I want to show you here, it's in verse 19. He says, "And then he said to him, 'Rise and go, your faith has made you well.'" Your faith has made you well. It's a different word. It's not a medical term, not necessarily, although it is used to describe the safe delivery of a baby. But the word is commonly used in the New Testament. We see it a lot in the New Testament. It's a Greek word called sozo. It means saved, it means delivered, and of course it means healed as well, the Greek word sozo. I don't teach you a lot of Greek or Hebrew in this church. I don't focus in a lot on words when I'm preaching. But I want you to catch this. These terms are very interesting, especially this last one, this word sozo. The Greeks used this word to describe escaping from dangerous situations, sort of like a sailor at sea and the sailor surviving a storm. They were delivered from that storm or saved from that storm, sozo. Matthew begins in his gospel when he starts telling about the birth of Christ, and an angel told Joseph the name of the Christ child, and he says, Jesus, he calls him Jesus because that name meant that he would save people from their sins. Sozo, the word sozo. When Paul described what would happen to a person who publicly professed Jesus as Lord and Savior, he used that same word in Romans 10, and I don't have it on the screen for you, but it says, "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Sozo. "For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is openly declaring your faith that you are saved." Sozo. Sozo. Jesus says to this thankful man willing to follow God before his circumstances even changed, to worship God before he even returned home, Jesus says, pronounces him a complete healing. A complete healing. A wellness that surpasses all other wellness terms. The story shows us more than just a leper's thankfulness. It shows us more than just our own thankfulness. It shows us a deeper revelation of our Savior Jesus Christ. Remember, a priest must make a declaration. When a leper comes to the priest, he makes that declaration that they're healed. There were details. The Bible has extreme, like a whole bunch of details about a leper being cleansed, a leper being made well before they could be readmitted to the community. But did you know that in our record of the Old Testament and the New Testament, every single leper that was healed supernaturally? Now think about this for a moment. There were great details of what would happen if a leper naturally became well. But that never happened as far as we know, not naturally. Perhaps people suspected of leprosy, maybe they had a skin rash and the skin rash went away, or maybe they had a mild infection that ran the course. You know, they thought they had leprosy, but then the infection, the sickness went away, and of course the priest would be able to declare them, "No, you're not leprous. Yes, you're healthy." But according to the records of the Bible, no real leper was cured by naturally cured. It was a lifetime sentence for lepers. But there were some healings. The sister of Moses had leprosy for about a week and was miraculously cured. A man named Naaman was cured miraculously. And that's it in the Old Testament. Looking at the New Testament, Jesus seemed to be able to cure leprosy as if it was a mild cold. And as if he did have the right medicine for this leprosy. He just cured it. Jesus continued to practice healing lepers, not naturally, but supernaturally, by God's power. It was another way that he's showing us this is the Messiah. He is the Messiah. This is the Christ. He is the Son of God. God in the flesh. God dwelling with us. God worthy of our worship. He is the very Son of God. Today you've touched people. Probably in the last hour, you've touched people more than those lepers had touched in years. Today you've had close friends, family, church members that you've given a handshake to or a hug to. Maybe you had a child sitting in your lap and you know you've had been able to touch people. Yet we need God to touch us in ways beyond a mere handshake or a hug or a child sitting in our laps. We need the touch from God. Unlike the lepers, you do not need to be afraid. No abuse has scarred you so badly that God won't touch you. Jesus is willing to lovingly touch you, hold you, restore you. No sin has made you unlovable. Jesus is willing to call you his friend, stand beside you, and it was his death that paid for that sin. No fear has disqualified you. No problem is so great that it disqualifies you. No failure has negated his love. The miracle of thanksgiving is the love of Jesus for you. No exceptions, no qualifications, no doubts. He loves you. And for that, oh God, we are so thankful.